If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
It's First Time Caller Day on Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
It is First Time Callers, so start lining up, folks. If you've never been on the show with us, today could be your day.
So First Time Callers only today. Now we're going to ask three questions each.
The quack of a duck does not produce an echo. Is that true or false?
That falls under the category of it's just wrong. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Today is March the 7th, 2025. I'm Tim Wildman, and joining me in studio is Bert Harper. Good morning, Brother Bert.
Good morning, Tim.
Filling in for the Ed's under the weather.
For a whole week, man. I've heard this sickness that this lags on doesn't go away. So
Yeah. So hopefully I talked to Ed just a little while ago, and he's on the mend, and he'll be back in the office on Monday.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Lord willing. Good morning, J.J. Jasper.
Good morning. I want to say that my favorite word is drool. I love how it rolls off your tongue. Well, that's actually my favorite English word. My favorite Spanish word is mucho. Anytime I'm around my Hispanic friends, I use the word mucho. It means a lot to them.
All right, para boom, ladies and gentlemen. He'll
it
be here.
Never stop.
That drool, that may have been a little tacky. I probably should have written that on a pickleball paddle and held it up instead of saying it on the radio.
And wore your pink shirt.
All right, lots to talk about today. Trivia Friday it is. We do this every Friday, and we're going to ask three trivia questions each and ask you to call in and ask a question yourself. So ask and answer is what we prefer. And today is first-time callers only. So if you've never gotten on the air with us and you wanted to be on the air, today is your day. So I'm going to give the phone number to reach us here and line up to be on the air and make your family proud with your trivia knowledge. 888. This is the phone number I'm giving you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Call in, and you'll be on the air with us here on American Family Radio for our Trivia Friday show. What's the other ground rule, JJ?
Well, one of these original questions, one of these original nine, is a mystery question. You don't know which one it is.
But no, you don't.
If you happen to land on it and answer it correctly, you're going to hear this sound. Ah, the beloved cowbell. That means you're going to win yourself a really nice AFR cap. Folks, these are really nice.
And I'm showing it for those watching on the internet.
Yeah, if you don't win one, go to the store and check that out. We also have books, videos, so many other things. But you can go to resources.afa.net. But somebody's going to win that cap, hopefully. But you might want to go and check out our sweatshirts and ball caps and things. Hey, can I do one more little PSA?
Sure.
The movie that you've been hearing so much about, Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, the life, the legacy of your father, Don Wildman, it is out. It's streaming for free. CultureWarrior.movie. CultureWarrior.movie. This is as good as any Netflix, Disney in terms of the quality. Now, you probably want to be 12 years old or up, but it really does show how one person can make a difference. And I promise you, if you watch it this weekend, you'll be inspired.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Okay, so I think we covered all our bases here. Is it time to
How about 12 years old or older? Is that it? Got to be that old.
Did we mention that?
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I
thought it was 11.
11. Okay. You see,
You need to be 11 years old and up to call in and be on the air with us.
And you said it's first time caller.
First time callers great. Only today. So there you go. JJ, Bert, why don't you give your questions and then JJ give his, and then we'll.
By the way, on exploring the word yesterday, I was saying I was going to be on trivia, and a guy called in. He said, "Man, I won one of those caps on trivia." So he was bragging about it. He said, "Yeah, my grandson likes to wear it around everywhere." So
it's
anyway,
a nice hat.
It's a nice
hat. For those watching on the internet, on YouTube or Facebook or X or even our own streaming.afa, you can see the hat for yourself there.
You know, I hope somebody needs to win today because Doge has looked into all this money, giving these hats away. This may be one of the last Fridays we're able to give these away.
Credit out.
Yeah, so try to get in and answer correctly. Yeah, get that hat while they're here.
Okay, question number one, Andrew Griffith Show question. What is the name of a dynamite-eating goat? The goat that ate the dynamite. What is his name? And then my Bible question. Now, listen closely. What is the name of the second city that Joshua and the Hebrews fought after entering the promised land? What is the name of the second city that Joshua and the Hebrews fought after entering the promised land? And number three, I love these group questions. What animals, groups, and what is the name for a group of elephants? What is the name for a group of elephants? That's great. My three, and I stick with them.
Great questions. Brother Bert, you and I, none of us ever compare notes. My first question, Bible question, after the Exodus from Egypt, God led the Israelites through the wilderness to the promised land. After they crossed the Jordan, which city did they conquer first? So I want to know the first city they conquered. Brother Bert wants to know what was the second city. So again, after the Exodus from Egypt, God led the Israelites through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. After they crossed the Jordan River, which city did they conquer first? Second question, who is the only player in Major League Baseball history to play more than 500 games at five different positions? The wheels are turning in Tim's head right now. Who's the only player in Major League Baseball history to play more than 500 games at five different positions? He played first base, second base, third base, left field, and right field. And a little later on, if it's not answered, I'll give a hint that will help. Third question, true or false, the last RMS Titanic survivor died in 2009. Is that true or false? The last Titanic survivor died in 2009. True or false?
Was that after the movie came out, wasn't it? Was it after the movie came out, the Titanic movie? Oh, y'all don't know?
Oh, yeah. You know what? The Titanic movie was around 1997. So, but yeah, that would have been after.
Long after.
Now, there was an earlier one earlier than that. So I need
movie?
To go, it was
now,
black and white. If, I can go back even to that one.
If this is true, boy, that would have been somebody to take to the debut and to the red carpet thing, to have somebody in a wheelchair to say, not only is this movie actual, here's somebody that was on the I was there.
I just know this, guys. The heart will go on.
wait. Say that again while I'm standing out here on the bow with my arms spread out with
near,
the wind in
far,
my hair.
Wherever you are.
Oh, my word.
Okay, so
you never disappoint on that song. Sports, songs, and geography.
Here we go. My first question. A few months ago, I went on a kick about inventions, right? So I don't remember asking this, and so I'll ask it now. Who designed and built the world's first practical automobile to be powered by an internal combustion engine, a.k.a. a car, basically? So what I'm asking you is, who invented the automobile? Now, you can rabbit hole on that and find out different names, but this fella, it was a male, he designed and built the world's first practical automobile to be powered by an internal combustion engine. Everybody got that?
Yeah, it's going to be Thomas Edison or Leonardo da Vinci, because they invented everything, at least 99% of the things that we care about.
Well, and then they could have formed a trio with Benjamin Franklin, right? Because he didn't do bad himself, right?
Bad. Franklin Stove, bifocals, man. Yeah,
Benjamin Franklin.
The poor Richard's Almanac, the post office. That wasn't a bad idea. He was the first U.S. postmaster.
So everybody got the question? Who invented the automobile?
Gotcha.
With the internal combustion engine, okay? Now, number two. Scriptural question. What did Jesus say were the two greatest commandments? Did Jesus himself say were the two greatest commandments?
Good question.
And my third question, try to have a baby boomer question in here because we have so many baby boomers listening, like myself. This sitcom with four main characters was the number one most watched TV show in 1962 and 1963. What was it? This sitcom was, with four main characters, was the number one most watched TV show in America for 1962 and 1963. What was the name of the show?
Hey, a friend of mine sent me you know how these little ribbons that are in a loop, like pink ribbon to fight cancer? There's a gray ribbon in a loop, and it says gray pride. We're old. We're tired. Get off our lawn. So I think I'm going to look for one of those parades to march in. We need our flag. We need our own flag.
I don't think they march, actually.
Well, no, you're going to see you're going to see a lot of walkers with some new tennis balls on the bottom, some canes. But, hey, I'm ready. Let's get us a flag and go after it.
Go at it.
Great pride.
What do they call it? The great pride?
Great pride. We're old. We're tired. Get off our lawn.
Great pride.
Great. Okay. Yes, sir. Great.
Okay, good.
All right, let's go, Robert.
Okay, let's go to the first caller, Jason from Arkansas. Welcome to Trivia Friday, Jason.
Well, hello and welcome to you guys. How are you?
Doing well. Well, what part of Arkansas? I'm going to do what Tim does one time. I won't do it again.
Go ahead.
What part of Arkansas are you from, Jason?
I'm from southeast Arkansas. I'm from Drew County, a little town called Monticello. We are the happiest hotel of the world, ladies and gentlemen. We're just happy to be here.
That's great. So that's on the Delta area there.
It would have to be.
We are. We're about an hour and some odd from Louisiana, about 45 minutes from Mississippi.
You do a lot of rice there?
I don't personally, not since the war, but as it stands right now, I do a lot of tomatoes.
I got you. So the war.
Which war?
The war of northern attrition. What are you talking about?
Northern attrition. I got you. You know that's over, right, Jason?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
We had those gray
I tell you, your side lost, my friend. But anyway, Jason, thanks for calling. Ask, answer, or both?
I'll try both on you.
Okay, which one do you want to answer?
Well, I'll answer your Andy Griffith question, if you don't mind.
Okay, here it is.
Okay. This really happened in one of the shows?
Yeah, man. It's one of the best shows. It's called The Loaded Goat. That's the name of it, by the way, if you want to watch it. What is the name of a dynamite-eating goat?
The dynamite-eating goat, bless his heart, was named Jimmy.
That is correct. Jimmy. Good answer. Hey, I got a question for you. Do you remember the owner's name?
No, I don't.
Okay, I had to look it up myself.
Dare I ask a follow-up here. What happened to the goat
What
there?
Happened to Jimmy?
Okay, well, he did not explode, although everybody thought he did, and they thought Barney, who had the only thing that would calm the goat was Barney playing his harmonica, Juanita, by the way. And he was playing the goat, leading the goat out, so if it exploded, it would be outside of Mayberry.
Outside the city limits.
Yeah, outside the city limits. So anyway.
So what was the end result for the goat?
The goat did not blow up. He survived. He ate a lot of hay and a lot of stuff, and the dynamite.
Did he ever have a second appearance on the show?
No, that was one and only.
Okay.
Yeah.
One hit wonder.
One hit wonder, but it was a wonder.
All right. Good answer, Jason.
Nice, Jason.
You're a fan. Obviously, like Bert.
Oh, I am, man. I'm a big fan of the program here. I'm a fellow radio guy myself. I've been in radio for 25 years, and I'm a huge fan of AFR.
Wow.
And family, I'm a late bloomer. I came to know the Lord when I was 31 years old.
Wow.
And ever since then, I've been on fire, still am. And, I appreciate your program. In fact, I pulled over on the side of the road so I could be part of Trivia Friday here
Amen.
Today.
Wonderful.
So, amen. Thank you,
Jason.
Those kind words, Jason.
And with you being on radio, you know how hard it is to get in. So first-time caller, this was great for you. What's your question for us?
Well, I keep waiting for that bell to send me the hat. So I'm not there. My question is, it's an Andy Griffith question though. So we'll share Andy Griffith today.
You know, we have Bert Harper on our team, right,
yeah,
Jason?
That's right. We got a ringer.
Oh, it's not trying to stump. This is just like camaraderie between Andy Griffith fellows.
Okay. What's your question?
So Aunt B buys the cheap roast beef from another place in Mayberry, the only time I've ever heard of this place even mentioned. What was the name of that butcher?
Oh, man.
That's a deep dive.
Yeah, it was funny, though. Again, she brings a whole side of beef home in a wagon. What was the name?
150 pounds.
Yeah, Lucky. Man, it was a weird name like that. I can't remember, Jason. I wish I could, but I can't. When you say it, guess what? I'll remember it.
You'll remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah, And maybe if I say it, it'll be worth like an AFR pin. A pin. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know,
I work
right?
On radio, you know I'm broke. how about Diamond Jim?
That's it. Diamond Jim.
That was the name of the butcher?
Yes, it was.
That was the name of the cheap butcher, the new butcher that came in and kind of outsold Mr. Foley on his prices, and she bought a bunch of bad beef, man.
Yeah, here's the deal. Diamond Jim he was a butcher by day. He was a bookie by night. He was playing the ponies and collecting all that money for who was going to win place or show, because you don't get a name, nickname like Diamond Jim. Just
Diamond Jim.
Working down there at the grocery store. Yeah, everybody knew that.
That's a good memory, Jason.
All right. Thank
you, man.
Thank you, brother, buddy. Jason. Good to hear from you there in Arkansas. He's in Monticello area, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to be in Arkansas, Cabot, Arkansas next week. I would appreciate the prayers. It's a widow's luncheon. It's all filled up, but I want to try to encourage and love those widows. And they said, just come make us laugh. I'm doing stand-up comedy and this little tiny devotion, so I can't wait.
In Cabot?
In Cabot, Arkansas. And then, since I kind of already started this, I'm going to be in Weatherford, Oklahoma, April the 1st for a pregnancy resource center. And I got the nicest note from Tessa. She said, "Hi, JJ. I wanted to share a praise report. Our fundraising banquet is 2 seats from being totally full." Wow. This has not happened so fast in my 5 years of being the executive director. What a blessing. And she goes on saying how she's praying for safe travels and so excited for the event that's coming up.
Weatherford, Oklahoma.
I've never been. I cannot wait.
When you started doing your Jimi Hendrix impersonation.
That's what put it over the
top.
I'm
telling you, the bookings you got.
Standing room only.
It's crazy.
That's
you do
right.
That purple haze
that's
thing.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Dynamite. No, I'm just kidding. JJ does, he does stand-up comedy, also does inspirational speaking.
He does a great job.
Well, thank you, and please pray for the Cabot, Arkansas, all full, Weatherford, Oklahoma,
all filled up.
I really want to see the Lord show up in a big way in both the events.
Who's next, Bert?
Clinton in Texas. Welcome, Clinton, to Trivia Friday.
Hey, good morning, esteemed professors. How you doing? This is a great honor to be on today.
Well, thank you for getting through. First-time caller. That's great, isn't it, Tim?
Absolutely. Clinton, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Tomball, Texas, just northwest in Houston.
Yes.
Good.
Used to have some friends that lived there. Tombball, right?
Yes, sir, like, all day long.
Just like it sounds, Tomball, Texas. Well, listen, thanks for calling, Clinton. Do you want to ask, answer, or both?
I would like to do both, please.
Okay, which one do you want to answer?
I think I would like to do, I believe it was JJ's question about the baseball player.
Yeah. All right. Oh, this is.
Let me write it down before you do that.
Okay, right? Write it down.
I'm gonna write it down because
I've written down the thing. See if that's the answer to your question.
I've got it written down.
Is that the answer to your question?
Yeah. You got mine.
All right. Let me see what yours is. Okay. Here's the question, Clinton. Who is the only player in Major League Baseball history to play more than 500 games at five different positions, first base, second base, third base, left field, and right field?
All right. Well, I hope my father-in-law is listening because he's a huge baseball fan, and I think I'm going to hit a home run on this one. But I'm going to go with the legendary Pete Rose.
Woo! Hey, right. Yeah. Not only did you get it right, that's a nice little pun, that pun intended, help you hit a home
run.
Yeah, I see it sailing over the center field fence.
How did you know that, Clinton? How did you know that?
I got a lot of just random knowledge stored up in here in this noggin. I was a big baseball fan growing up. So, yeah.
Well,
I remember.
How old are you, Clinton?
I'll be 41 in April. Okay. So, you know, not too young.
Yeah, I'm 20 years ahead of you, but I remember, you know, when Pete Rose played, watching
Charlie Hustle.
Having the transistor on a Schwinn Stingray, and you got it right there on the handlebars listening to the games.
Yes, but Pete Rose, I remember him playing third base. I remember him playing second base, first base for the Phillies. And then he played the outfield. You said five different positions?
Here's what: first, second, third, left field, and right field.
Yeah. He was, and that's Mr. Versatile right there. But, yeah, Clinton, Pete Rose, of course, he passed away last fall.
Clinton, Tim wrote his answer down. And, you know, you say, I wish I'd have said something to somebody because now they'll question if you, you said you knew it. But he got it right, and I didn't think it'd get answered this quickly. I thought towards the end of the program I was going to say, and he's just now in the news a lot, because I do hope they pull back that restriction and let him into the Hall of Fame. That's just a personal note.
Yeah. All right, Clinton, we're ready, man. Fire away.
I had no doubt in Tim. I know he's a baseball knowledge over there, so I had to get it. All right, so I got a question here. What state means – red people in Choctaw?
What state means red people in Choctaw?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but it's a name of a state.
Yes, sir. Okay. There is one of the 50 states in the language of the Choctaw Indians.
I got
means
you.
Red people.
Okay, don't say anything, Clinton. We're going to talk amongst ourselves.
He said sports. So is this tied to the Redskins or something?
No, this is like a state name, which means red people.
Right.
Like Mississippi means
Oklahoma.
I'm going to say,
my
gut reaction is the word Oklahoma. Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, the state.
Because Choctaw doesn't reach over there to the, I don't believe so.
Not going to be in the eastern seaboard.
We're not going to be east, and it's not going to be over there in like New Mexico or Nevada or somewhere like that. I think more Choctaw is in the central part of the country.
Educated guess.
I'm going to take a different and just
go ahead and
say Alabama, because
Alabama means Choctaw.
I don't know
red
that.
People.
I'm going
go
to
ahead,
Clint.
What's the answer?
What's the answer?
Well, 50%, I think, will get you to the Hall of Fame with the batting average.
Okay.
Oklahoma would be the answer.
Okay. Nicely done. Nicely done. That's a good.
Deciphering?
Yes, that was really good. Narrow it down.
Decipher sometimes, you know. All right, Clinton, thank you so much, my friend. Very good question. Did he have something else? Go ahead.
Hey, while it's
a great day. God bless.
Yes, sir. Hey, while the music is playing, this kind of snuck up on me. We spring forward this weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks forward.
I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to forget.
You ready for that extra hour?
No, yes. You're going to lose an hour. We're going to lose an hour.
Extra hour in the afternoon.
Oh, there you go.
You've been talking about that. Losing an hour on Sunday night?
Yeah. You go to bed early.
I don't care about Saturday night.
No, you do.
I'm just glad we're going to have an hour of daylight back.
You change it Saturday night. Spring forward.
Yeah.
2 a.m., but everybody does it before they go to bed on Saturday night, so you'll
make
the church
My phone does it by itself.
There you go.
Did y'all's phone do it by itself?
Yes, it does.
My flip phone.
It's smart.
My flip phone hadn't wanted to get it right here.
Flip phone. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on Trivia Friday here on AFR.
As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, they are putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Ten folks said, Jed, move away from there. Said California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly
Hills, that is. Swimming pool. All right. Welcome back to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Bert, and JJ.
You realize how many baby boomers were singing along just now?
Oh, yeah.
That and Gilligan's Island. You just knew the words.
You can't help but sing.
Yeah, that's right. What's the deal with you guys wearing plaid today? Is it plaid Friday?
I'm a plaid guy.
We email each other and I say, what slacks are you going to wear?
What are you going to wear today?
Brother Bert.
Jeans,
what color
too.
Socks? We want to be on the same
page. Blue jeans and plaid.
Yeah.
JJ and Bert.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Bert and JJ. We are going to repeat our questions that have
heretofore been unanswered.
Love that word.
Heretofore, we're trying to bring that word back. That if you look at the demise of civilizations in history, they lose the word heretofore in their lexicon. That's a sign that you're going downhill.
They start to unravel almost immediately after that.
I know. So look it up. Heretofore.
Right.
We need to save the word. So Bert, JJ, and Tim here. And on American Family Radio. Go ahead and repeat your questions, Bert.
Okay. One's been answered, but there's this one in the Bible. What is the name of the second city that Joshua and the Hebrews fought after entering the Promised Land? What is the name? The second question, what is the name for a group of elephants? What is the name for a group of elephants?
Scary.
That is true. I want to do a baseball question since this is in.
Good.
What Major League Baseball player won the Cy Young Award 4 years in a row? And by the way, that was from 1999 to 2002. What Major League Baseball player won the Cy Young Award 4 years in a row from 1999 to 2002?
Here's what I've got. First question from the Bible. After the Exodus from Egypt, God led the Israelites through the wilderness to the Promised Land. After they crossed the Jordan River, which city did they conquer first? That's the one I want to know. What was the first city? Which was the first city did they conquer? Second question, true or false? By the way, the Titanic sunk in 1912. Here's my question. The last Titanic survivor died in 2009. Is that true are false. The
last 50-50 chance.
The last Titanic survivor died in 2009.
And is his name on the Social Security list?
Still drawing a check to this day. Oh, that was well done.
Perfect timing, man. Yeah,
and then I'm going to add one. What year was NASCAR founded? I'm going to give you a multiple choice. What year was NASCAR founded? A, 1948, B, 1958, or C, 1968? What year was NASCAR founded? 48, 58, or 68?
Here are my three questions. If I had one answered, I don't think so. So here are my three questions. Number one is, who designed and built the world's first practical automobile to be powered by an internal combustion engine? So in essence, what I'm asking you is, who invented what we call the modern day car?
It was not EV.
What now?
It wasn't an EV motor.
Oh, electric. No. You're right. No, it wasn't. I'm talking about internal combustion engine. So there you go. Second question from the Bible. What did Jesus say were the two greatest commandments? Jesus said, he said these are the two greatest commandments.
Out of the 10.
Yeah. I want to know. I want to know what he said. And finally, again, a baby boomer question. This sitcom was with four main characters, was the number one most watched TV show in the years 1962 and 1963. What was the name of that show? What was the name of that show? Back to the phones, Bert.
Okay, we want to go to Tennessee.
First-time callers only.
Yes, and it's Cassandra in Tennessee. Welcome, Cassandra.
Hello.
Yes.
How are you guys?
Doing well. What part of Tennessee are you calling from, Cassandra?
Well, I'm actually driving through Mississippi on my way back to Tennessee, but I live in Northwest Tennessee.
Okay, wonderful. Well, great.
North, like Dyersburg?
Yes, sir. Actually, I live in New Bern, which is about 15 minutes from Dyersburg.
Yeah.
Good.
Know where that is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hey, you want to answer, ask, or both?
Both.
Okay. Which question do you want to answer?
The two greatest commandments.
Okay. Here's the question. Jesus said that these were the two greatest commandments that we are to live by. What are they, Cassandra?
In Matthew 22:36-40, mm-hmm. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. And then the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself.
Absolutely. Way to go.
That is it.
By the way, is it Cassandra or Cassandra?
Cassandra.
Okay.
Nice.
Sorry about
done.
That. If it can be mispronounced,
okay.
Tim, I can do it.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right.
Everybody does it.
Okay.
So she's used to it. You know, so Matthew.
Absolutely.
But that's from, you said that's from Matthew 22?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Matthew 22:36-40.
Tim, okay. Can I add a little commentary quickly to that? So, you know, they're trying to trip up Jesus, always trying to paint him into a corner, and they thought, well, you're not going to be able to choose the favorite. That's like saying, which of your children's a favorite? And they were surprised when he said, love the Lord with your whole heart, love your neighbor as yourself. But then he added, all the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, everything from Genesis to Maps hinge on loving God with your whole heart, mind, soul, body and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he always put it on the bottom of the shelf and kept it real simple.
You know what,
if you
the world,
get those two right,
you got
all
it right.
The Bible hinges on loving the Lord with your whole heart and loving your neighbor as
yourself.
You know
yourself. What the world would look like today if we just followed those two commandments,
wow.
Everybody?
Look like a Coke commercial. Everybody holding hands and singing,
"We are the
world."
One of these days, guys. One of these days.
Instead of trying to steal another guy's Coke.
Yes.
You know, that's what's wrong with the world. You know what I'm saying? What the world
needs now is love, sweet love.
So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is, and the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. All right.
Cassandra, do you have a question for us?
I do.
Go right ahead.
What is the only NFL team to have gone to the Super Bowl four times in a row consecutively?
Buffalo Bills, I think.
I think it is. The Steelers are the Buffalo Bills, but I think it was Buffalo, and they did not win a one.
You say Buffalo, I'm going to say the Steelers just to hedge our bets.
I think, well, the Buffalo Bills, I believe.
Four times in a row, she said.
And they lost every time.
They lost every time.
Is that right?
Yeah, you don't have to pour salt in my wound, but yeah, four times we lost.
She said, don't have to pour salt in my wound.
Are you a Buffalo Bills fan then?
I am.
Yeah, they're doubling
down. My dad was originally from Buffalo.
Yeah, they're doubling down.
Well, you're not from New York, are you?
No, my dad was originally from New York, and I was born and bred a Bills fan.
I got you. Well, our good friend Steve Tiber on 8 Days of Hope, he's like Bills fan number one.
Yeah.
And they did go to four consecutive Super Bowls, which is quite an accomplishment in itself, but just couldn't get over the top there.
You know,
but they were fun to watch.
Thinking about a fan, though, when you get your hopes up like that as a diehard fan, like Cassandra and all her ilk, that had to be discouraging.
Well, that's why there are a lot of homes in – that were built for Buffalo Bills fans
and support groups.
They live in Northern New York, Buffalo area. There's a lot of support groups,
recovery groups, a lot of
12-step programs for that very thing. Cassandra, have a great weekend. Don't forget to set your clock forward. Thanks for listening to AFR.
Cassandra, there calling from. She's traveling in Mississippi. She's from the Volunteer State. Who's next, Bert?
It is Linda from Iowa. Linda, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hello. I got to ask, what part of Iowa?
Dubuque, Iowa.
Oh, wow. How do you spell Dubuque? That's one of those
Every
words. How in the world do you spell it?
Every other letter is a U, so they kind of make it easy. D-U-B-U-C-U-E.
Linda and Brother Bert, my daughter, my oldest daughter, Lauren, she's a wordsmith and a gifted writer. She said, you know, like everybody else, a little nervous over this AI. She said, I've already got it figured out. In a year or two, when you come up to somebody and you don't know if they're a human or an AI robot, ask them to spell vacuum. If they spell it correctly, they're a robot. They're not human. So you could say, ask somebody how to spell Dubuque.
Yeah.
And if they get it right, you're not a real human.
That's right. Hey, Linda, it's good to have you. Do you want to ask, answer, or both?
I'd like to do both, please.
Which question you want to answer?
I had to look it up, but I want to answer the question about the Titanic survivor.
Yes, here's the question. We got a little music track, a music bed in the background while I read the question. By the way, the Titanic went down in 1912, tragically. The last Titanic survivor died in 2009. Is that true or false?
It's true.
It is 100%.
Good answer. Way to
true.
Go, Linda.
Woo!
Isn't that crazy? Here's a little backstory. She was 2 months old when she escaped on a lifeboat in 1912. But hard to believe, 2009 for us was yesterday. And you're talking about here this lady when you're in small group at church. Hey, stand up and say something interesting about yourself. Well, I was on the Titanic. You know, she wins that prize.
Right, yeah,
man.
How did you know? You said you looked it up, Linda.
Yes, I did.
Do you remember her name? Do you have her name? Because I don't.
Oh, Milvina Dean.
Yep.
Milvina Dean.
She was British.
Right.
Of course, the Titanic sailed from, was it Liverpool? Where does it say where they
from
were?
From Ireland.
Where were they? Where'd they leave from over there, the Titanic?
They left from, I think, County Cork in Ireland.
And then went to, they were headed to
New York,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were in the North Sea.
On a ship that God couldn't even sink.
But an iceberg.
You know what? I've seen the pictures of the Titanic compared to modern-day cruise ships.
Right.
And the modern-day cruise ships, like, dwarf. And that was considered, you know, the biggest ship ever built.
It was the biggest ship and the most modern ever built.
All right, Linda, go ahead. Ask your question of us.
Can I tell? I just want to tell you something funny about the Titanic first. Our daughter was traveling abroad in Ireland, and she was in Northern Ireland So the Titanic was built in Northern Ireland, and then it sailed from Southern Ireland. But she said there's a museum there where they built it, and they have a sign that says the Titanic, built by the Irish, sunk by the British.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Or the British iceberg.
There's a little tension there. Yeah.
You know, you have a pastor, Brother Bert's a pastor. You know, pastors always have a story to pivot off of. But the true story of the ones that built it there, and they said after it sunk, that they gathered in the churches and just wailed, just cried and cried and cried because they thought, we built it. And they just felt some responsibility. Well, did we have that bolt tight enough? Did we have this secure enough? And, of course, the iceberg, but all the workers, because it provided so much employment for the people there, and it was their pride and joy.
Yeah.
They said they just took to the streets grieving and just sobbing and wailing.
Mm-hmm. Well, where are we going from
here? I can imagine.
Linda, you got your question for us.
Our way.
I do. So I liked that we were talking about baseball earlier. My question has to do with baseball, but it's actually related to the famous poem, Casey at the Bat.
Okay, yes.
So I would like to know if you can tell me how many people were in attendance that day.
Are you talking about
the poem or the song? So it tells how many were there.
Yes.
It says in the... is that the song or the poem, the No Joy in Mudville?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
There's no joy in Mudville tonight because the mighty K struck out?
That's it.
Yes.
Okay. And
I know one line talks about how many bottles of beer there was on the wall, but I can't remember how many people was actually in the stands.
I think you're getting your poems mixed up there, JJ. All right. Gosh, I know the poem, and I know it's a part of American sports lore, but I'm trying to.
Mighty Casey.
Yeah.
I think we're striking out on this one.
Yeah, we've seen the third pitch come across right under our chin.
All right, what is the answer, Linda?
So it's very unusual the way he tells it, but here's how he says it, and then you can figure it out. 10,000, so he's talking about when Casey is now coming up to bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt. So there were 5,000
10,000 eyes.
It's called the what's the name of the Mudville? Is that what the name of the poem is?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The title of the poem. I think it's called Casey at the Bat is the title, but.
I think.
All right.
It's an interesting story that it was published in a newspaper in 1888. So it's a very, very old.
Right. Is it true? Is it a true story? Maybe, huh?
No.
No.
No. Yeah.
All right. Well,
Howdy, Casey.
Linda, glad you got through. First time calling. And have you guys still got a little winter hanging on there in Iowa? You had snow just a few weeks ago, huh?
It's snowing right now. It just cannot quit.
Wow.
Okay. Hey.
Well,
be safe.
You know
Linda.
What? Linda, somebody's not living right. I mean, I don't know what's going on there in your town, but you might want to investigate. It should not be snowing right now.
Yeah. Well, don't forget to set your clock forward and hang in there. The trees will bloom. The flowers will bloom. The trees will bud. And a few more weeks, maybe you'll see a little springtime. That's
springtime.
Right.
Okay, let's go to Eric in Mississippi. Eric, thank you for calling. Eric.
Yes, are you there?
Yeah,
yes,
we're here. Go right ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I'm from, I like to do both. I'm from Gundale, Mississippi.
Oh, man, up the road.
Yeah, we know where you are.
Better known as Pistolville, right?
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Well, Eric, thank you for calling. Do you want to ask, answer, or both?
I'll do both.
Okay, which question?
The elephant question.
Okay, here it is. And
have you ever seen a group of elephants, Eric?
I have not.
Okay.
Okay. What is the name for a group of elephants?
That would be a herd.
A herd is right.
A herd.
Wow, that can't be
it's got a second name, though. Do you know what it is?
besides a herd?
Yeah, they got, and it's
a bunch.
It's a more picturesque, a parade.
A parade
of elephants.
Ladies and gentlemen, Here comes a parade of elephants.
That's it. If you know that it's perfect because they go behind one another, and it's like a parade. What, Jungle Book? You ever seen the Jungle Book movie?
Yeah.
And the elephants come in, and they're marching, and it's like a parade.
Are elephants only native to Africa?
Got some in Asia. And the difference is their ear size.
Right.
If I remember.
Can they hear better?
Well.
Can they what?
Hear better.
No, I think what it is, the flaps are bigger in Africa, and they can't hear as much because they can't stand them up. They flap over their ear canal is. Yeah. But I don't know.
What did you just say?
I said it flops over their ear canal. The ears do.
Big ears. Some of them have bigger ears.
And they flop over,
right,
causing them not to be able to hear.
As well as those who have smaller ears.
See, some are open, and they can hear the others. They got all
they don't section. Open like ours. I wonder if people, human beings, if they have big ears, they hear better.
Are you guys just making this stuff up?
No, we know about elephants.
You be elephant experts, are you?
That's right.
From Mississippi?
Hey, listen, I've been to the zoo. I know them.
Well, there you go, Bert.
I spent the night in Holiday Inn Express.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Eric, you have a question. Go ahead, Eric. Good answer.
Yeah. You have a question for us?
I do. What Major League Baseball player once wore a hat that was worn by Babe Ruth?
Wow.
Man, that's a good question.
A great question. And what a
You
cool
mean wore it in a game feat. And was known for
yes,
it?
Sir.
That yes, would sir. Be awesome.
Okay. One other follow up to that, Eric, if you will. We're talking about, a player like before 1960 or after 1960?
It happened in the 90s.
Wow. How cool is that?
Have to be a Yankee. You know what I mean? I don't think it'd be a Boston.
Yep.
I'm going to say Derek Jeter. Or Bernie Williams. But I'm
You say Derek Jeter, I'll say Bernie Williams, just where we can have several options. Right.
Go ahead. Eric, who was it?
It happened in 1997. It was David Wells.
Oh,
David was the pitcher.
What's the story about that?
And he bought it at an auction for $35,000. And the thing is, he wore it for one inning, and he was fined for wearing it.
Oh, because it wasn't approved by the Major League Baseball.
I bet he enjoyed paying that fine.
He got in the record books.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And later on, I think he auctioned it off for over $500,000. So I think that was a good investment.
Oh yeah, for sure. He had an original hat by Babe Ruth. Yep.
I wore it and got fined for the Yankees. Yeah.
I know. Yep.
Well, right. Those pitchers need.
Thank
extra
you, Eric.
Money,
appreciate
so
it. Good to hear from
good.
You. We need to at some point repeat our questions. Just go ahead and do that real
quick. Okay. Here's mine. I have one of the originals that hadn't been answered. What is, in the Bible, what is the name of the second city that Joshua and the Hebrews fought after entering the promised land? And then the second question, what Major League Baseball player won the Cy Young Award 4 years in a row from 1999 to 2002? And I'll add the third question here. It is about a president. Who was the shortest serving president of the United States? Who was the shortest? Shortest serving. In other words, he was in office.
I thought you meant like height. Wait.
That was James Madison. I remember that. He was 5'4", if I remember that correctly. And I think Abraham Lincoln was tall. But this is the shortest time in office of the United States.
Right.
What president was it?
Here's what I've got. After the Exodus from Egypt, Joshua took them to the promised land. What was the first city they conquered after they crossed the Jordan? Second question, what year was NASCAR founded? Multiple choice. Was it 1948, 1958, or 1968? Then I'll add one. If you experience epistachus, what happened? And it's multiple choice. High fever, sudden dizziness, or nosebleed. So if
none up are good.
If you experience EPISTAXIS, What happened? High fever, sudden dizziness, or nosebleed?
With that name, I believe you experienced all three at the same time.
At the same time, yeah. Tim?
Yeah. All right, so here's my question. This I've had this since the top of the hour, hasn't been answered. Who is credited because he designed and built the world's first practical automobile to be powered by an internal combustion engine? In other words, this fella invented the car, okay, the automobile that we use today, an internal, same principles. What was his name? I'll give you a hint. He was not American. A lot of people think Henry Ford. No, Henry Ford mass-produced cars, but he didn't invent the car. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Difference.
So this gentleman was not from the U.S. My second question, this sitcom was, with four main characters, was the number one most watched television show in both years, 1962 and 1963. What was the name of that show?
And say the question again, please.
Okay, this sitcom was with four main characters, was the number one most watched TV show in all of the U.S., in 1962 and 1963. What was the name of that show?
I got two good guesses, Brother Bert.
I tell you what, I don't want to force a call right when I got a minute to go. So we wanted to, by the way, pray for Brother Ed, Ed Battagliano. Yeah. Ed's been sick all week, or so he says, and he sounds like it.
Right.
But, you know.
Can I take some of this time and make mention again?
Yeah, I want to pray for Ed. He should be back on Monday. He'll be on the mend. Go ahead. What are you going to say now?
The new movie that's out, Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. Network-wide, we've been reminding people that now it's streamed for free. You can watch this. And this really is as good as anything you'll see on Netflix, Disney, in terms of the quality.
Documentary,
fast-paced documentary. It's very, very interesting, challenging, and inspiring. The life and legacy of Brother Don Wildman, the founder of AFR. You absolutely will be inspired. Here's how you can watch it. CultureWarrior.movie. CultureWarrior.movie. Watch it for free this weekend.
By the way, your daughter Maddie, she's over in Kenya, right?
Kenya. Yes, I just posted her newsletter at JJ Jasper Official on Facebook. She's a teacher/missionary.
She ever run into a
herd of elephants?
Herd of elephants.
Parade. Watch the parade.
She's seen giraffes. She's had hyenas come into the camp. She's been 6 feet from them. She was jogging, came around the corner, and there was a bunch of baboons. That's scary.
Called a truth.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.